Well, I know you're all going to be a little bit disappointed because I traditionally open my talks with some sort of a little joke, and I don't have a joke today because I could... because I could not find one that I was able to connect with the topic. But I do have a special treat for you. In lieu of a joke, I'm going to share with you some poetic readings this morning. And these poetic readings are taken from my 8th grade graduation autograph book. So just sit back and enjoy the splendor and the wonder of some of these. There once was a girl from Havana who slipped on a peel of banana. She wanted to swear, but her mother was there, so she whistled the Star-Spangled Banner. Let's see. These were all addressed to me, by the way, if you're not aware of that. Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. But the roses are wilted, and the violets are dead, and the sugar is lumpy, just like your head. Yeah, we'll skip that one. In heaven we may never meet, so I'll see you where we'll beat the heat. And if it gets extremely hot, then Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. The artistic genius. You may be a fink and you may be a dink, but I still love you because you don't stink. Couple more, if you'll bear with me. Roses are red, violets are blue, a face like yours belongs in the zoo. Ha, ha, ha. Dear Mike, I love you little, I love you big, I love you like a little pig. That was from my sister Donna. And one of my favorites is, I love you little, I love you mighty, I love your PJs by my pink nightie. Now, don't get excited and don't get misled. I mean on the clothesline and not in bed. And there's a couple that I just have to share. Sorry. Roses are red. Grass is green. You think that you're handsome, but it's only a dream. Thanks, Mom. I really needed that vote of confidence in my life. And there is one on kind of a serious note that I want to share with you. If I could get Mom out of the way for a minute. Mike, set your goals high in life. High enough so that you can at least hit the midpoint. And when I got that last one, I was really disturbed by it. I thought I was being dissed. And so I went and asked the person who shared that with me, what was that all about? And he expounded to me something that I think is really consistent with the whole unity movement. And he explained, no, that the message was, don't sell yourself short. Set those high goals, those high ideals. And Charles Fillmore often preached the same thing. If you need $100, ask for two. Because ultimately, you really recover, you really get back so much of what you invest in your dreams and wishes. So I hope you had a little fun with that. I think it's kind of related to what we're going to be talking about today, which is change. And we're going to do so around a story. But let me ask you, how many of you know or were familiar with Leo Buscaglia? Yeah, okay. I mean, Leo has long since passed, but back in the days when he was on television and I would watch him, didn't you just want to hug that guy? I mean, he was just so full of love and so full of life that it was incredible. And one of the things that Leo did is he wrote a short story, a fable, called The Fall of Freddy the Leaf. And you may or may not be familiar with it. It is a very short story, and it might be regarded as a children's story because it is very simple in its nature. And in fact, as we talk about Freddie the Leaf upstairs here today, our children are talking about Freddie the Leaf downstairs. And it's very apropos because the story makes sense and it holds a lot of meaning for absolutely anybody at any age who has ever had to experience change or a loss of any kind. So the story tells us about the beginning of Freddie the Leaf and how he was stemmed to a branch on a tree. And it tells us how he came to be in the spring and for the rest of his days in summer. And in both of those seasons, Freddie the Leaf thrived. In both of those seasons, Freddie lived in the moment. And in both of those seasons, Freddie basked in the sunlight and in the moonlight. And very early on in the story asks and answers a really very, very profound question that is significant for every form of life. The question that it asks is, what is a purpose? And the answer that it gives is that a purpose is your reason for being. And we might look at the purpose that Freddie the Leaf had, and if we don't pay a lot of attention to it and dwell on it, we might dismiss it as pretty insignificant or unimportant. Because part of Freddie the Leaf's purpose included things like making things better for others, providing shade for old people, helping to create a cooler place where children could come and play. And as I said, on the surface of things, Freddie's purpose might seem rather insignificant. But it begs a very basic question for each and every one of us. What is your purpose? What is my purpose? What is our purpose? What is our reason for being? And, you know, I'm just asking you now, have you ever asked yourself this question? Or maybe you've asked yourself the question indirectly by thinking about something like, you know, Monty Python's question of what is the meaning of life? And in that context, that's fine. But have you ever prayed over, meditated over the very basic reason of why it is that you are here? It's a very powerful and maybe an intimidating question. Back when I was a very young boy and really immersed in Catholicism, the catechism asked the question, why did God make me? And the answer that we were spoon-fed and the answer that was then drummed into us was, God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to be happy with him in heaven. And as I think about that simple response, I really think that it's right on. But now as I'm older and there are different filters and different perspectives and I wear a different lens in my life, I think we need to look at that simple answer, you know, from a few different angles. What exactly does it mean to know God? What is involved in loving God? And what exactly do I have to do to serve God? And then, because I'm older, I'm also very interested in that very last part of that answer. What exactly does it mean to be happy with him in heaven? So let's go back to Freddie the Leaf and his purpose. His purpose included things, as I said, like making things better for others, providing shade for the elderly, and providing a cooler place for children to come and play. And it also probably provided the feeding of nourishment to the tree upon which it lived. And probably included the purpose, the reason for being, of adding beauty into the world. And really a very important purpose, the purpose of generating oxygen that was so needed by so many other life forms. All of them are significant. And Freddie the Leaf did all of this, accomplished all of this, while being stemmed to a branch on a tree, day after day, night after night, moment to living moment. Well, that might all be well and good for Freddie, but let's face it, for us, our lives are a heck of a lot more complicated than that. We got things to do. Okay? And we've gone through this litany in the past. You know, we have to take care of our homes and shovel the snow and cut the grass. And we have to put food on the table and make dinner. We have to go to school. There's always that job thing for us. We have to get the kids to school. And on and on and on it goes. One of the most frustrating things for me in my life is trying to merge calendars and get things together. And we constantly go from one thing to another, resenting the time that we have to give up doing the things that we love, and resenting it even more when we have to then dedicate that time to taking care of and doing those things that we really don't want to do. God, I hate emptying the dishwasher and taking out the garbage. And God, I just despise honoring my dental appointments. I regard these things as serious interruptions in my life. As recently as yesterday morning, I was really torn between two different places that were really calling me to be there and to be wholly present. And I resented it. I didn't like being put into that bind. And when we live in that state of awareness, when we're in the middle of all that nutsiness, that craziness, that's precisely when we are missing the point. Nobody here, I believe nobody here, is going to argue that our reason for being is not to know God, not to love and serve God. But what's really important for us to understand in our relationship with God is that it has to be something greater. It has to be something more than just adding one more item to our schedules or our calendars. And I really think that it's important for us to come to church on Sunday and do what we do on Sunday. It's not enough. And even if you have a very rigid, wonderful daily prayer practice, a practice of prayer and meditation, it's not enough. Your God, your inner Christ, has to be part of your consciousness 24/7. Your reason for being has to be part of your underlying energy in absolutely everything that you think and everything that you do. Loving and serving God is understanding that your relationship with light, love, divine mind, spirit, Father, whatever your personal reference is for the ground of your being, you need to have the understanding that it is something that cannot be set apart, cannot be put aside at any time for any reason. So in the middle of all of the crazy nonsense and all of the things that the appointments and the schedules and the dishwashing and changing diapers or whatever it might be, there has to be that ongoing mindfulness that everything that you do becomes part and parcel of loving and serving God. And when you're in this state of mind, regardless of how small or seemingly insignificant or trivial it is that you are about, the difference as to whether or not you are living your life on purpose, the difference between whether or not you are living your life in response to why you are here, that makes the difference what your awareness and your consciousness is And if you are living in that positive awareness of loving and serving God, then it takes even the silliest, most mundane things that you do, like blowing your nose, and it elevates it to something that is holy and sacred. And that last part, to be happy with him in heaven. Well, you know, maybe we really don't get that. And maybe one of the reasons that we don't get it is because our brains have a tendency to isolate our inner Christ being from all of those nonsensical things that we are called to do day in and day out, and therefore it makes it difficult to experience the reality of heaven. And when I'm talking about heaven here, we all know I'm not talking about some place high up in the sky that we go after we die. We're talking about heaven in the sense of happiness, in the sense of getting up and jumping for joy, that reality that actually flows in and with and through each and every one of you. And when we think in unity of the Christ within, we automatically go to that place of something that is sacred, something that is holy, something that is mystical, something that is serene. And yes, 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 it's all of that. But it's also an inert fiesta. It's a party that is waiting to manifest and happen within you. And the reason that that does become manifest, the reason that you do experience joy, is because of those moments and those times when you are living your life in response to exactly what you are called to be. But our topic today is changing colors, turning over a new leaf, and we have not even touched upon this at this point. In the story, Freddie the Leaf, let me back up a bit. At this time of the year in the fall, we also love and appreciate the changing of the colors and the beauty that Mother Nature shows off to us. And it's something that we really express appreciation for and something that fills us with wonder. But that's easy for us. What about the leaves? They're the ones that are going through these transitions. In the story, Freddie the Leaf asks his really close friend and mentor, Daniel, what is going on as autumn comes and he begins to see changes in himself and in all of his leafy companions? And his friend Daniel says, it's okay. It's all part of the natural order of things. And he reminds Freddie that when you were first born and you were just nothing more than a sprout and you were going through all kinds of changes, you weren't worried about it then. You know, this was something that you were able to do without even thinking about it. And Daniel reminds Freddie that dying and change is nothing more than a part of living. And then Freddie's reaction is probably something that all of us could relate to, because he's not having it. And he's making an announcement. I am not going to die. There's a metaphysical lesson here. This death that I am talking about, our own physical death, our final transition, is something that is just a small, insignificant part of what we're talking about here. In the story, change is represented through the changing of colors. And it's really important to know that God and Spirit are active in our lives only all of the time. And we are undergoing change even when we are not aware of it. And we may not change our skin colors. Well, okay, maybe for a few age spots here and there. But day after day after day, the reality is that things are different. The reality is that we are different. In unity, we talk about letting go of those old, worn-out beliefs, those error thoughts that no longer serve us. And this is really a very important thing for us to do. But the story of Freddie the Leaf amps it up a bit. The story of Freddie the Leaf sends a message that even those thoughts that are not old, even those thoughts that are not worn out, even those thoughts that are not born in error thinking, are going to have to change. The God within you is an in-motion video and not a photograph. Change is going to occur. For Freddie the Leaf, it could be explained in a very basic scientific way. The days grow shorter, the temperature drops, and as a consequence, the leaf is not able to produce that same green color that it always did as part of its life cycle. And that gives way, instead, to those colors that we so enjoy, the browns and the oranges and the gold, as the natural sugars in the leaf come to be. The biggest single example that I could think of is our own children. Or children in general. You know, early on, they're crawling all over the floor, all over the carpet like a water bug. And then one day, as the time gets nearer, we build up a sense of anticipation, of expectation, until at long last, he or she gets up on his or her 2 feet and takes those first steps. And what do? In reaction to this, we celebrate it. It becomes something that we call our friends and tell them about. And we're happy about it. But along with that happiness, there is that inner knowing of the loss of, you know, in those days of the baby crawling on carpet. They're gone. And our children don't remain 6 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old forever. And they're not supposed to. And they don't remain teenagers forever. And they're not supposed to. And most of us probably have had the experience where children have gone off, maybe to school, or maybe they have found a significant other in life and they're in a relationship and they move out of the house. And we throw a big party and, you know, there's a wedding or whatever, and we celebrate all of this. And yet at the same time, there's that underlying sense of loss. It's a reality. It's part of what constitutes the very nature of change. And the more difficult it is for us, or the easier it is for us, relates to how much we are embracing the process or we are resisting the process. There's a name for this process that I'm talking about. In Unity, we refer to it as chemicalization. And that's a term that was used by Emily Cady in her book, Lessons in Truth. And as I explained, in a leaf, it's very easy to explain scientifically. But for us, because of our darned consciousness, it is something that is much more difficult for us to accept, to appreciate, in the realization that what was or what is eventually has to give away to what is yet to become. In the story, Freddie the Leaf, despite his resistance, eventually gives way. He is pulled from his branch by a strong wind that I believe represents, metaphysically represents, spirit. And he softly, gently falls to the earth. But his journey is easy and painless. And his landing is described as soft and warm. Eventually, as nature continues, Freddie dissolves, sinks into the ground, and begins to feed the roots of the very tree upon which he lived, and takes a rightful place in that ongoing process of recreation that will be realized as that tree once again blooms in green in the springtime. None of us are the same. that we were 30 or 20 or 10 years ago. None of us are the same as we were last year. We're not even the same as we were yesterday. But to the extent that we have been living our life on purpose, to the extent that we are living our life in response to why we are here, what is our reason for being, then there's no need to mourn. There's no need for regret. There's only a cause for celebration. And none of us can go back in time and change where our hearts and where our minds were in the past. But we have where we are right now in the present. And at any moment, we could more strongly align ourselves with who and what we truly are. We could more closely align ourselves, answering that question of why are we here? We can't change the past. But there's so much of our story, so many chapters in our books, right up to the very ending chapter, that is yet to be written. And the good news is, by virtue of being a divine, beloved child of God and a co-creator with God, you get to write the script. And if you write it, and the particulars embellish it all, because every one of us is in a unique situation and every one of us is unique. But the beauty of it all is that if we write the story in a way that is consistent with us living out our reason for being, then truly we will be happy with God in heaven. So let's take this to prayer and meditation.